your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. You know, we promised a segment on cyber warfare, and Jim was an Army intelligence officer, retired as a lieutenant colonel in Army intelligence, so he worked with that his entire career. Makes him the best person I can think of to talk a little bit about cyber warfare, pros, cons, etc. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so, you know, The very big concern with militaries is the ability to influence the electronic spectrum and to be able to use power. You know, used to be that we were very concerned about electronic warfare by jamming or sending communications out that were, you know, misinformation. Well, now there's so many people that are connected in the world on through the internet, the World Wide Web. The real concern is how quickly information can spread that's inaccurate and make decisions. And I think I've mentioned it before on radio to our listeners. Yeah. But, you know, working at the U.S. Pacific Command as the deputy chief of combating terrorism there, you know, we were looking at every possible aspect of how you could observe and see where threats were. But what changed with the advent of, say, Twitter and some of these social media platforms is decision makers began to focus on, okay, what's the latest information I can get? And so they started to focus intelligence collection on these types of social media campaigns and looking at what Twitter says. And, you know, how do you actually make good decisions based on a series of tweets? That's probably not the way to go about conducting warfare. So there's a huge challenge to discern real information versus false information, because most intelligence agencies and most of these programs are trying to, what we see right now in Ukraine, there's a huge information war going on being fought out on the internet based on, you know, how many casualties there were, how far the Russians have taken, how bad the Ukrainians are doing, or how good the Ukrainians are doing. All kinds of information going back and forth. And that's shaping decisions back in Washington on how much money to give or in
Bonn. You better do. Yeah, dangerous.
And of course, a lot of that information is inaccurate, and it's hard to validate, because what we're seeing is when there's a mass flow of a particular story, that it will quickly spread like wildfire. You know, it'll go viral all over the world, and then people accept that as truth, when in fact, it may have never been true. And you could see it in numerous instances. Say Nick Sandman and what happened. He was the young kid that was accused of, you know, intimidating a Native American guy in a protest in the Capitol steps, I think at the Lincoln Memorial. And it was completely false narrative, but it went all over the world. And the guy was, you know, they were threatening him. He ended up suing and cutting a deal settling with some news agencies, CNN in particular, for, you know, large, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. But the story was already, you know, in many people's mind, they still believe it.
Yeah.
So that's the threat of the ability to use information in warfare. It can have a very rapid effect on decision makers, and then the media jumps on board and begins to perpetuate that myth and that lie. That is incredibly dangerous. And most major certainly the United States, NATO countries, and the Chinese government are working very diligently to control the cyberspace, if you will. Yeah. So there's big investments in Cyber Command. There's a brand new, you know, combatant command in the United States. I shouldn't say brand new, but it's been up for a few years now. The Chinese have been doing it for a long time. They've spent literally hundreds of billions of dollars on developing cyber capabilities to collect data in order to improve their defense capabilities or their offense capabilities by stealing technology. And it also helps their economic position by stealing that technology. And they do it through cyber intrusion. So very dangerous, very dangerous.
Well, I can see the danger that would come out of something like this, particularly in the case of Ukraine. I mean, how many people know exactly what's going on in Ukraine? I mean, it's not like you're getting minute-by-minute television or whatever. All you're getting really is what is in the news and what is controlled by, I guess I would have to say, the cyber warfare proponents. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, they're being controlled by a handful of editors and algorithms that have been created in order to shape information. And that's very dangerous. Now, when you start talking about the potential dangers, there is so much fighting capability that is now dependent on information flow. How you actually target with artillery is now done through electrons. We all have seen the results of what a Reaper drone in drone warfare can do through Afghanistan, what we're seeing happen in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
That's all controlled in through electrons and electronic spaces and satellite links. All that dependency means that every basically major fighting force is dependent on the electronic spectrum. If that shuts down, you've got a real problem in able to defend yourself, with the ability to defend yourself. And so or to fight. And the Russians are facing some problems in Ukraine because they've lost some of those capabilities, some of that communications and electronic control efforts. So, you know, it's a very, very tough problem when so much of your military is dependent on this type of cyber connectivity. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
You know, Jimmy, I got to tell you, I had a feeling when computers first started. I've always made my living using computers for, you know, specific tasks. And once I realized the power of computers, I realized that computers would one day control the world. And they're pretty much controlling the world right now. I mean, look at the social media, look at Facebook, look at Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. They, without a doubt, I would have to say, have a major control on the thinking of every person certainly in the modern world. You know?
Yeah, and look, the possibilities and the positives with technology are fantastic. You know, there's a lot of different things that are very, very good, and the ability to, you know, process such information so rapidly can be positive. But at the same time, typically whatever man does, they end up, you know, using it in some sort of conflict. And right now we're so dependent upon it. And, you know, my son's a scientist. He actually develops AI. He's a very, you know, Caltech theoretical physicist who does AI development, and I question sometimes, you know, where we're headed, you know, where we're going with this.
I really wonder, Jim. We're up to 8:15, so we got to cut it for this particular short segment. You guys, time for the top of the hour news. Jim and I will be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.